Well, let me pray. Let me pray for us, okay? Let's bow our heads. Let's come to our Father. Father in heaven, we thank you, God. We thank you for your great love and your great presence and your passion, Lord, to not just create us and let us be, but to draw us close, to be in intimate fellowship with your creation, with your people, with your children. God, thank you for Sabbath. Thank you for rest. So I pray now, God, because apart from you, we can do nothing. And we don't want to do meaningless things today, God. We don't want to seem like and give the appearance of bearing fruit only to wither away. God, we are needy and longing to connect to the vine, to draw from your source, and to depend on you, God. So, God, be in my words, Lord. Spirit of God, use them, please, God, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going through the book of Matthew, and Matthew is one of the... Oh, I'm sorry, baby. Yeah, we're going to keep going in Matthew, you know? It's taking a while. Matthew is written by one of the disciples, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. So it's a firsthand account of all the events leading up to and surrounding the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. So a man literally wrote, you know, these words that were translated into English, and we're in chapter 6, okay? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. And the sermon title for today is Prayer. We're still in the Lord's Prayer. Prayer, bringing our neediness to our Father. Okay? Prayer, bringing our neediness to our Father. So let me read verse 9 to 11. This is Jesus talking. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, give us this day our daily bread. Okay, we'll stop there. Jesus spoke these words, and Matthew recorded these words in a first century Palestinian Jewish context. So we live in a very different context today, which is fine. But we have to rewind our brains a little bit and get back to that time period, and even before that, the Jews and the Israelites have a tremendous history recorded in the Old Testament. But I want you to just, for a moment, just kind of, you know, let's frame our mind around what's going on. There's Roman oppression, so Roman rule over the Israelites and the Jews. You know, perhaps historians would say largely peaceful. You know, Pax Romana was the saying, right? Largely peaceful in Rome for economic growth. But there was certainly Roman oppression. There was injustice. There were, unjust laws. There were probably heavy taxation, which is why the Jews had such a problem with tax collectors. Probably poverty, sickness, probably, just a life, if you can imagine, a life daily living on the edge. You know, like, am I gonna be able to get work tomorrow? Am I be able Am I going to be able to get some wages for tomorrow? Am I going to be able to provide for my kids tomorrow? Am I going to be able to, you know, and even if I can tomorrow, am I going to be able to for the next few days? Is it going to be enough? And so when you think about that, that living on the edge every day, and then Jesus says, pray like this, my Father in heaven, I need your daily bread. It has a certain meaning in a certain context. And fast forward to today, and I don't want to sound like such a hater of today, but sometimes it's hard not to hate on today, maybe, but I love today, I hate today. I have mixed feelings. But in 2026, modern American, Western, Northern Virginia, you know, top 10 richest county in the country, top probably in the world, I would say this can easily become a largely irrelevant prayer. Not all the time, right? We have needs, but often. Often it can become a largely irrelevant prayer. And the reason for that, and the reason for that is, now I'm fast forwarding to today in our context, okay? We work really hard, and I'm including myself. We all work very, very hard to minimize that sense of neediness. We don't like that feeling. I don't like that feeling. So therefore, we work very, 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 very hard to not feel that way. To not feel need. Father, give us this day our daily bread is a prayer of need. It's a prayer of dependency. What is need? I'm going to talk about this more, but need is uncertainty. You feel need because you're uncertain about certain things in the future. So it comes from a place of lack. Why does your stomach get hungry and gurgle? Why does your body need sleep? There's a lack. God has designed us to come to moments of lack. That's why you must sleep. You must get good sleep. Every day, one third of your day is sleep. Should we not be humbled by that? That you actually need it. It is essential. God has designed us in such a way on this earth to need, to have lack. And we don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like feeling that feeling. So I have 2 points for today. Okay, remember the title, the sermon title is Prayer, Bringing Our Neediness to Our Father. 2 points. The first point is, the lost art and practice of being in need. Okay, we've lost it a little bit. Which leads us to point number two, regaining that sense of need. Okay. Regaining that sense of need. Okay, so let's talk about the first one, lost art and practice of being in need. Okay, let me just read it again. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, God, would you give us, because I'm in need, would you give us, give me my daily bread. Again, it's a prayer of need, and we've lost that sense. We often lose that sense of need. We don't like it. We don't like that feeling, okay? Like, it was not that long ago, I don't know, 50 to 100 years ago, not that long ago when people literally had to, like, you know, like, dig up soil in the ground, like, plant some seeds, water it, wait for the sun, and then just wait. Wait for weeks, wait for months to determine whether they were going to have a yield and a harvest and have food on the table and have a wage. It's called farming, okay? Not farmers markets. It's called farming, okay? It's like literally, it was not that long ago. It wasn't that long ago in the context of history. And you were largely like not in control of that situation. I mean, you were dependent upon a certain weather pattern. You were dependent upon a certain quality of seed. You were dependent on animals not coming through and just like taking your crop. And you were dependent upon, you know, thieves not coming and just stealing your yield. But again, just to understand our context today, and John said it too when he was praying, he's like, it's not a popular thing to be in need today. So therefore, we work very hard. I work very hard, you work for her. Let's just be honest, okay? We can be confessional here. We work really hard so that we can suppress that feeling of need. We fight it, all right? We fight it because need, in a sense, is also pain, right? When you get hungry, there's a pain. If you're hungry long enough, I don't know, right? Like, there's actually a pain in your stomach, right? And it's like sending signals up and down your brain into your body, like, hello, like, there's a lack, right? There's a lack. There's a lack of nutrients. There's a lack of energy, lack of food in your belly. Go do something about it. So we fight the pain. We fight that feeling because we don't like to feel that need. Let me just give you a couple examples. All right. Worry. I know some of you are worriers, some more than others, okay? Worry. Let's just say, I'm just going to make up an example, worry about finances, okay? It comes from a place of you perceive that you have a lack. And it could be a real need. So you think about the future, you project into the future, and you calculate in your brain all of these needs that you have. It's not all wrong, right? Like, you gotta plan out stuff. So you think about yourself, you think about your children, you think about your parents, you think about your home, you think about food, you think about recreation, right? Your standard of living. I mean, you think about these things, right? But then you see that need, and what's probably for most of us the first thing that we do? We worry and we plan and we make moves and, right? We think about our careers. And again, it's not all wrong. I'm just saying, like, this is what we do. I'm just saying what we do. We think about our careers. We think about promotions. We think about pay raises, right? But then you can cross a line, and then it becomes building storehouses upon storehouses and investments upon investments. And you build more wealth, and you have so much, you don't even know what to do with it, so that you don't have to experience that pain called uncertainty and need. You don't want to feel that feeling. And yet Jesus says, come to your Father in need. Let me use a different example, okay? Loneliness. Right? If you're feeling lonely, that is an emotional and a relational need that you have. And I would say it's not wrong, right? God designed us to be relational, right? So maybe you lack friendship, maybe you lack love, maybe you lack affection, connection, intimacy, right? And we were designed for those things. We were designed to be communal with God, communal with one another. God himself is communal, right? The Trinity. So there is, in a sense, we're created in the image of God. We're designed for that. So it's like, it's not a wrong need, right? But then you don't like that feeling. You don't like feeling needy. Who likes to be needy in a relationship, right? You don't like to feel uncertain and it causes this pain. So we do all sorts of things, right? We don't go to the source, you know, maybe we turn on Netflix or, something. We medicate. We throw some Advil and Tylenol at it to numb the pain, to suppress the pain of that feeling of need. We don't like to live in that arena, that state of need. But yet again, Jesus says, come to your Father with your needs. And my point is this. My point is, if I had to summarize, my point is this, that the pain, okay, again, similar to a hunger pain, that pain that comes from uncertainty, also called need, right, when that pain of having needs, okay, and the feeling and that state of being needy and dependent is not meant to be suppressed, numbed, and controlled. It's meant to lead us to Him. It's meant to lead us to our Father. Okay, let me say that again. That pain that you feel, okay, that comes from uncertainty and need, and we don't like that feeling, we don't like living in that state of uncertainty and need, because it's like this low-grade pain, whether it's from loneliness or finances or future or health or whatever it is, or daily bread, literally. It's not meant to be suppressed. It's not, you're not meant to throw Advil at it so that it numbs the pain, right? Advil doesn't solve your pain, by the way. It numbs your pain. It makes your body think it's not there, but it doesn't actually deal with the pain. The only person that can deal with your pain is your Father in heaven. He's the healer. He's the provider. So we need to regain our senses here. You see what I'm saying? Like, we need to regain our sense, that feeling of being needy on a daily basis. This is daily bread. This is daily need. And I would even say moment by moment need. So that we can meaningfully pray, my Father in heaven, I need you. God, I need you. I need you. I need you for my next breath. I need you for my next heartbeat. I need you for today. I need you because I have these anxieties. I need you to provide. It's need, need, need. And I think I would argue that if you're not regularly praying this prayer, okay, it's not a prayer discipline issue. It's that you've lost your sense of need. It's numbed or medicated or taken care of in some other way, apart from God. So in order to pray that prayer, we need to undo that. We need to regain our senses, that place of need, that feeling of need. We can't be afraid of that sense of need. I've used this example before. For the parents in the room, if your child is really sick, I mean, stage 4 cancer, deathbed, I mean, you're gonna pray, okay? You're gonna pray. If you're in Christ, you're gonna pray. And why are you gonna pray? Because you're gonna have a need that you cannot, and you're gonna know that you can't fix that problem. Okay? You can try to get the best treatments, you can try to get experimental stuff, you can try to contact your insurance and get the best, you know, experts, But at the end of the day, it's in God's hands. Now, that sounds dramatic. I can imagine some of you saying, like, oh my gosh, that's so dramatic. How can we live like that every day, right? But you know what? I think that's how we're supposed to live every day. In need. In need of God. And I think our modern culture has taught us how not to need. So maybe I'm being a little dramatic, but I don't think I'm being that dramatic, okay? That the state that God wants us in is a state of need. So the question is, how do we regain our sense of need? Okay. That's the question I'm trying to answer today. How do we regain our sense of need so that we would come to our Father on a daily basis in a state of need? I have three things, okay? I have three things that I think or I pray would help you. This is not exhaustive. I'm not saying these are the only ways to regain your sense of need. Just three things as I was praying and preparing. Number one, humble yourselves and reject the false god of control. Humble yourselves and reject the false god of control. James 4, 13 to 16. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. God calls in James that desire and that pursuit of control. Okay, that's what's happening here. That desire and that pursuit, apart from God, to do this or do that, to make plans, take control, make moves, to trade and go here and there and make a profit, apart from God, he calls that arrogance, boasting, and evil. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. You boast in your independence and your plans apart from God. And he says, all such boasting is evil. We're very arrogant about our time here on earth. That's part of what James is saying. What is your life? You're like a mist. You come and go. So one thing James is saying is you need a heavenly perspective here. You need an eternal perspective. You're a dot on the map. God could take your life this next minute, tomorrow, next year, 20 years from now. So we're arrogant about our time here on earth. And then because of that, we believe we can take control and lead and shove God out of the picture. God, why don't you take a back seat here? Because I got some things to do. Both here and throughout Scripture, humility is not a suggestion. Humility is a command. Earlier in this chapter, I didn't put it here, it says, humble yourselves before God. Like five verses before this. And here's the thing. God's command for humility is for your good. It's for my good. Okay? He's not an oppressive king. He's a loving king. He's saying, John, Daniel, Nate, Henry, Steve, Jerry, like, humble yourselves. Let God be God. Let me be me and you be you. It's for your good. You're just a man. We're just people, right? We're here for a moment and then we're gone. So how do we regain our, what is one way that we can regain our sense of need? Humble yourself and reject the false god of control. You see, it's not actual control. It's perceived control. You think you have control, right? You think you can go and make moves. And he says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, if that's his desire and his plan, God, you lead and I'll follow. I'll tell you, when you submit your plans to God, you let him actually lead, I'll tell you, that's a scary place to live. Because he could ask you to do all manners of things. But that's a place of need. To have that sense that I'm needy for my God. I'm needy for my Father. I'm needy for him to lead me to wherever he wants me to go. That's number one. Number two, don't medicate and numb the pain of uncertainty and need. Okay, don't do that. Instead, take courage and allow yourself to feel it and remain in it. Okay? Allow yourself to feel it and remain in it. It does require courage. And what I mean by that is, it does require faith and trust that God is big. We are prone, and I'm including myself here, we are prone to numb that pain, to medicate it, to take control, to, you know, make some plans, because we have a small view of God. He's so big. He's so big. That's why I need to come on Sundays and I need to sing those songs, because I need God to be my vision, God. Acknowledge it, call it what it is, take courage, have faith in a big God, and stay right there. You got to remain in it. Psalm 88, 13 to 18. But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I'm helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. They close in on me together. You have caused my beloved and my friends to shun me. My companions have become darkness. The psalmist here is confessing pain, uncertainty, even uncertainty with God. God, your wrath is sweeping over me. Your dreadful assaults, they destroy me. You have caused, I don't know if that's an accusation, but you have caused my beloved and my friends to shun me. God, you feel far. Why have you rejected me, afflicted me? I'm close to death. I'm suffering from helplessness. But the thing I appreciate about this is that it's honest. Someone wrote this down in a moment of need to confess and be honest before their God in heaven. And here's the thing, God can take it. Okay? He can take it. So don't mask it. Don't cover it up too quickly. Don't numb it, right? Allow yourself to remain there. Even our Lord Jesus, when he came on this earth, he experienced deep need, sorrow, the suffering servant, pain. It says he wept. He wept bitterly for Israel. So he understands. He understands what it means, and he invites us to come to him with our needs. Right? He's not distant. Right? Hebrews says that because of that, because he incarnated and suffered, he has more sympathy for us. He empathizes with our pain so that he could be the great high priest. So don't mask it, don't numb it, don't cover it up. You can come to your Father with that. Number three, bear one another's burdens and carry the pain and need of others. 1 Corinthians 12, 21 to 27. As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. They're essential. And on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. Let me say that again. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Bearing burdens is hard. It's hard. I mean, it's like, even when you think about the imagery and the verbs and the words that are used, it's literally weight. Bearing burdens is literally carrying one another's weight, carrying the weight of their needs and their sorrows and their challenges and their suffering. That's part of our design. God made us to bear one another's burdens so that when you pray, God, give us this day our daily bread. I don't think it's just you and God. I think it's God, us and God. God, I know this brother's suffering. God, I know this sister is in need. I know this child. I know this teenager, this whatever, right? The people that God are bringing in, they have needs because the church is a hospital. Of course there's needs, right? And we have to be conscious of those needs so that we can regain a sense of need so that we can come to our Father in need. And he's a great, great Father. He invites us to come in need. Let me close with this. A couple days ago, Dino and Ceci invited me to visit a brother who's visited their church a few times. I think he's come to our prayer meeting once. His name is Gabriel. Turns out he lives right there across the street. And I wasn't exactly sure why they asked me to come. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. I mean, I'll show up at this address at this time. And I didn't exactly know what to expect. I think I'd met him once before, but I wasn't sure what the plan was. So I show up, and turns out that Gabriel has stage 4 cancer. It has has spread, right? And from his back around here, he's on some experimental pre-chemo treatment that will lead into an experimental chemo treatment. And he wanted prayer and encouragement. So we go, we converge, and he's Spanish speaking mostly, so I'm trying my best to remember high school Spanish, but Dino and Sissy were helping me to translate. And I'll tell you, I thought I was there for him, but he served me. He's a believer, his wife's a believer, they have two kids. And he just shared, you know, that if God allows him to live, he's going to live for Christ. And if God takes away his life, he wants to glorify God with his death. He's ready. He's ready for whatever God has for him. And he's trying to die well. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, God knows. But he's at peace. And... but he's needy. He's in great need because he has pain. He can't work. He's worried about his children, his wife. And God's providing. That's the thing. God's providing some just amazing things. So we go over and we pray. And well, he hosts us first and he makes us these little nice biscuits and some Ecuadorian grain and whatnots. And we're just listening. We're just having a conversation. And then we begin to pray. So I pray and Dino prays and then he prays. And he's just, I don't know. I was so encouraged. I was so humbled too. Because no one knows this guy. Okay? He's not going to be featured on a podcast. He's not going to trend on Instagram. He's not going to be, you know, invited to a conference to speak. He's not going to be on a pulpit somewhere. Just a nameless, faceless guy who is a child of God being faithful. Faithfully in need and faithfully crying out to his Father. Fighting for faith. Fighting to cling onto God. And let me ask you a question. Who's more blessed? Am I more blessed? I have a lot of my needs taken care of. My health is pretty good. Got some money in the bank, right? Got a trajectory, right? I mean, like, am I more blessed in God's eyes? Is he less blessed? Just a simple, faithful child of God crying out to his Father every day for his needs. That's not a curse, okay? I mean, in a sense, we live in a broken world. There's sin, death is caused, right, by sin, and the curse upon the humanity of the world. But I'll tell you, that's not a cursed life. To be in need of God every moment of every day, that's a blessing. There's a special grace for those who are in greatest need. And those who are eager and ready to cry out to their Father in heaven. So it is imperative, right? I'm not saying I'm praying for all you all to like be exactly in that situation, right? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if you're not in that situation, it is imperative that we regain our sense of need. Because there's a special grace to depend on your Father every day for all your needs. That's not less. So we must humble ourselves and reject the false god of control. All right? You must not medicate and numb the pain, but instead have courage in the vastness of God. He's very big. And it's imperative that we bear one another's burdens. So if you're in a moment where you're feeling okay, and you've got some strength in your legs, right, and in your spirit, bear one another's burdens and regain your sense of need so that that's a meaningful, daily, regular prayer. God, give us this day our daily bread. We need you, God. We need you today. I need you. I depend on you for everything. Okay, let's pray. Father, as we come to you, Lord, God, Spirit of God, I pray that you would sow in us, Lord, just the reality of our needs. That we are utterly dependent upon you, God, for every breath, every waking moment, every heartbeat. God, that you hold the world in the palm of your hands, God. God, would you forgive us, Lord, for our arrogance and our boasting that's evil. God, as if we don't need you, Lord, as if we can go do this and that without you, Lord, would you forgive us? And God, we pray that you would give us great measures of faith to be in a place of need and to trust you, God, that you're a big God, you're our Father, and you provide all of our needs. I also pray, God, that you would give us more faith to bear one another's burdens, God. There are needs in this room, God. There are needs in our hearts. There are worries and anxieties. There are needs in our families. There's needs in our community. God, if there's one thing about this world, God, you know, it's broken. So there are needs, Lord. There's needs in Nepal and China. God, we pray for them. Father, meet their needs, Lord. I pray for Gabriel, God. God, be his father. Meet his needs, Lord. And I pray for us as a body of Christ. God, would we consider one another above ourselves and cry out to you, God, together for our needs. Thank you, God. Thank you. Humble us, Lord. Draw us close to you. Make us branches that are needy for the vine, so dependent upon you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.